Yes. Yes, Madam Clerk.
We are now on the air, and you have the floor.
Okay, thank you, Madam Clerk. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call this cultural meeting to order, 10:30 a.m., August the 6th, 2020. Roll call, please.
Congressman Maker.
Here.
Congressman Keen.
Present.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Present.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Present.
Congressman Big Horse.
Present. We have a quorum. Congressman Keene, would you mind rendering a prayer for us this morning?
Yes, please stand. Dear Heavenly Father, please watch over us as we try to make the best decisions that will guide the Osage Nation. We ask you to please watch over everyone and heal those who have been affected by COVID. We ask you to please bring us peace for any burdens that anyone's battling. And we are thankful for all your blessings. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Congressman King. Next on the agenda, number four is approval of minutes. And we have two sets of minutes, one from April the 15th, and then another set from July the 11th. So if you'll take a moment to look those over.
I make a motion to approve the minutes from April 15th.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion carries. Now we're looking at July the 11th minutes.
Chair, this is Rivard. I'd like to make a motion to approve the July 11th minutes.
I have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
We have a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Minutes are approved, Madam Clerk. Okay, and moving on to item number five, discussion of legislation. The only piece of legislation that I'm aware of, and correct me if I'm wrong, Madam Clerk, is 2063, which you should have in your email, some support documentation. Pertaining to the museum and where the funding is coming from. This piece of legislation is sponsored by me, so I'm going to turn the chair over to, who's our vice chair, Madam Clerk?
Our vice chair is Congressman Maker.
Okay, Congressman Maker, Sir, do you mind taking over?
Well, I'd be glad to, Chairman. Okay, at this time, committee, we're going to be looking at ONCA 20-63, sponsors Congressman Big Horse. So, and he is here, ready to make his presentation. So you had four, Congressman Big Horse.
Thank you, Congressman Maker. 20-63 was brought to me. It's to authorize and appropriate $250,000 to the Capital Asset Fund for an interpretive plan, pre-design services, and master planning for the Osage Nation Museum expansion, and to establish an alternate effective date. And I believe the chief touched on this in his opening comments, that this was something that was a top priority for his administration, and a lot of it has to do with this new film that's coming along, Killers of the Flower Moon. There's a lot of history that's being rekindled, brought to life. I know there are, over the years in my lifetime, I know there have been many, many families that have donated items, articles, sacred to our culture, to the museum. And we just have not had the space to display and properly care for those items. So this is something that they fall into culture, something that is near and dear to my heart. I heard some discussion about where the was coming from. I am a shareholder. I've always been opposed to tapping into this this particular account, but it was also brought to my attention through one of the Mineral Council members that they too are looking at this fund because they possibly are going to need some help with some litigation monies. So I spoke to them about this, and they had mixed emotions about it, like I do. But in the big picture, you know, they are, of course it's a cultural person, so they were for the project. That being said, I'll open the floor up for any question.
Chairman Big Horse?
Yes.
This is Angela. I believe that Marla is trying to, I just wanted to let you know, I know you're opening up to the committee now, but just FYI, Marla Redcorn Miller is trying to get into the meeting. And so I had the clerk send her another link because she said hers wasn't working. So she should be on the line sometime soon, just in case anyone has questions for her.
Oh, okay, that's great, because I met Marla, around 2008 or 2009 at the National Museum, the American Indian in Washington, D.C. I believe she was working for the Smithsonian at that particular site. So she is a very, very highly qualified person. And her input would be greatly appreciated. We all know, I don't know if you all have looked around the office there, but towards the back where the vault area is, there's a bookcase there. And there happens to be a picture there of Speaker Mason. I believe he was the first speaker of this Congress. And myself, when I was a state representative, and we're at the podium, we're at the speaker's podium in the Oklahoma House of Representatives in that picture. And what we're doing is I sponsored a resolution through the Oklahoma House of Representatives that made that particular day and that particular year Osage Nation Museum Day, because it was the 75th anniversary of the creation of that museum. So there was a proclamation that was signed and presented to the tribe, and the tribe, the Congress, and the chiefs were invited down, and they were introduced to the entire house, there were several members that made comments from the house floor, and it was quite a deal for our Osage Nation. And so I've got a lot vested in this project, I'm standing behind it. So there again, I'm open for any questions.
Chairman Bighorse, this is Congressman Keene. I just want to say that I'm definitely for this piece of legislation, but I know yesterday Chief Standing Bear was mentioning David Graham, the author of Killers of the Flower Moon. Do we know if there's any current kind of fundraising or opportunities from investors? I know Chief had also mentioned that yesterday in his proclamation. If you could elaborate, please. Thank you.
Well, to my understanding, the interpretive plan and master plan has got to be started and underway in order for that endeavor, the fundraising to begin for the entire project. So these first little baby steps are just kind of the beginning stages of the project itself, to begin asking for donations. And then, as you heard Chief, he had talked to David Graham and called him back. And these were the instructions that he advised Chief to follow. So that's the lead I'm taking.
I'm here too. This is Marla Redquin Miller. Sorry for interrupting.
Yes, Ms. Redquin, I appreciate you being on the line, and Speaker Pratt had mentioned that you were trying to get on. And Mr. Chair, can you recognize Ms. Redquin? Congressman Maker?
Yes, Ms. Redquin, thank you for being here, and we really need your advice and wisdom on this project with all your experience. So you have the floor.
Thank you very much. And I wanted to ask, just to start off, are there any questions that you, specific questions that you want me to address, or just to do a sort of an overview of what the process is?
Yes, go ahead. You have the floor, whatever you think you need. And if you want to have questions after your presentation or during your presentation, however you want to do it.
Okay, thank you very much for your time, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to thank you all for the time here. And I just wanted to kind of start off, I sent out the Capital Asset Fund request justification for further elaboration on this process. And I would give a little bit of background in my area just that will be helpful in seeing this. I was a deputy director at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture in Santa Fe. And so I was overseeing and managing four facilities for the Department of Cultural Affairs, which is a state organization. In that capacity, I was also a project manager for the reinstallation of the permanent collection of their holdings. And that process is similar to what we would be engaged in with a renovation of and an expansion of the museum. And it is sort of standard museum practice to have an interpretive plan when your endeavor is as involved as this, to have an interpretive plan and also a master plan with pre-designed services. Because what we would like to do is present a package for donors and sending agencies so that they are aware of the steps that we have taken and the due diligence that we have done on the facility, on our vision of what we're going to do, to have a project schedule, sound probable cost estimates, and an interpretive plan. And so when I worked at the MIAC, what we had done was we applied for an NEH grant, highly competitive grant, and the kinds of things that federal agencies, funding agencies ask for that are the kinds of information that we would be getting from this, from the interpretive plan by the exhibit designers and also the master plan from the architects. So, and those types of things would be, you know, to have the probable cost estimate, the facilities audit, which looks at the soundness of our building, and also then you have the plan of programming the space. So I'll kind of start with the architect. The architect will be doing the master planning services and the pre-design services, and their end product and deliverables will be this package of outstanding, beautiful materials that we can take to funding agencies, that we can use in grant applications, and it will be based on real costs and real planning and consultation with our community members. Because with any Native organization, and particularly really with our the history of us as Osages, is we really need to take the time to look at what we are doing for our people, kind of assess where we are now, assess our assets, and then go out to the public and see what direction that we want to go so that we can continue on the successes that we've had in the past and move forward in with the new direction in the future. And so starting with the architectural plan, you know, we Chief Standing Bear put together a committee to a cultural core committee to do the RFP to secure a master planning and pre-designing services. So this architectural firm is going to produce the materials, the drawings, the preliminary drawings, the probable cost estimates, the project schedule, as well as a model, a 3D model, and perhaps, I mean, if needed, a virtual model for funders to come in. And after we have those kinds of things, we'll have the core documents and also ancillary material that we can put together a case statement for fundraising. So that fundraising case statement would be a brief but moving statement about how those funds would be spent and how that they would benefit our community, and also the understanding of Indigenous people at a larger level. Because we have an opportunity here, really, to contribute to the discourse of museum best practices for Indigenous communities. Anytime a museum really strikes out like this, and an Indigenous museum like ours strikes out like this, we are really creating new terrain for the field. And we're approaching it that way because we're striking a balance between museum best practices and honoring our cultural understanding and how we best want to represent ourselves and also respect the values we have as a people. So these things would come out with a master plan. And then the interpretive plan, which we're looking for exhibit designers, and really those are the specialists in visitor experiences. They have spent their lifetime really tracking and understanding how people engage different institutional educational spaces. And so these interpretive designers will look to how we can align our programming, our exhibits, our research availability to align them with our goals and our mission and our vision for the museum. And then the interpretive planners will also provide an outline, and the RFP specifically states that they're going to talk about the types of spaces that we need. Because if we're going to do the types of spaces, which would be education spaces, workshop spaces, perhaps an auditorium, what kind of visitor services needs with like bathrooms, retail spaces, food spaces, if that's what we want, it gives us an opportunity to have a discussion of what would be best for our museum. And it's done in an environment that would gain, what we've asked for in that RFP is that the interpretive planners, which is the exhibit designers, that they would create a collaborative model for input. And so that input would have the roles and responsibilities of the different committees. There'd be a committee for visitor services. So when people come into the door, how they are met, you know, basing that on Osage values of hospitality, so that we have this when people come in, that they sense they're coming into a different space and they begin to understand who we are as a people. And really all of these things have been happening in the museum in an organic way. And I think that successfully through the different directors that we've had, I think that, you know, the areas that we can strengthen are our outreach into our own communities, that we look at to be a museum where people want to come in here on a daily basis, that we have things going on, that we have things so that we're always continuing to build and create and refine and really energize the history and narratives and art that we have as a people. And so looking at that looking at that interpretive plan really gives us an opportunity to spend more time being thoughtful and doing due diligence about what these services are going to be. Because the last thing that anybody wants is to have this big building and that we didn't do enough thinking, that we'd have empty spaces or people not coming in, or, you know, because we're missing the mark of what we've created. We want to create it and tailor it specifically to the needs and interests of our people. And also, I think, you know, when talking to people, when we hit that chord with our people and we hit that chord that really shows who we are as Osages, that the visitors that come out, the tourists that come and see it, will see something really beautiful and meaningful that has a resonance. And so not like focusing our efforts to trying to please our visitors that come in, but to really work and do things that are valuable to ourselves, because in doing that, we're going to create something really spectacular that people will want to see. And so that's the, you know, and so that audience base would be the visitors and the tourists that come in. So one of the things I wanted to mention is, as you all know, in terms of your experiences out there, I'm sure in the field and talking about different things, there's a real interest here. And I think we have the capacity to draw in first-rate people in these areas. We already have an incredible architectural firm in place, and in the interpretive plans, you know, and sending out the RFP, it looks like we're going to get interest from some leading exhibit design firms and museum planning firms to develop that component. So those are the kinds of things that you know, that we are considering. It is standard museum practices, if you're engaging in something of this scale, that you do have an interpretive plan and then the architectural plan. People have done it in different ways. Sometimes you start off with the interpretive plan and then you'll go with that information to the architectural firm. I think that the architect that we have that we're recommending for contract really prefer to work in tandem with the interpretive plan, so that I think that they're kind of working together, because the one of them sort of doing the shell and the building and the other and the space, and the other is really doing the programming and the things that are happening within that space and how visitors experience that. And I'll give you one example of something that would come from the interpretive plan. So let's say the NEH grant, if we're doing an implementation grant, which I think you can seek out up to $400,000 for. If we're doing an interpretive plan, I mean, if we're doing an implementation plan or a planning grant from them, or actually an implementation grant from them, one thing that they're going to want to see is a walkthrough. What is that walkthrough? And so what that walkthrough does, like on a large, it shows and it kind of traces what the steps would be, how people encounter the building, what their experiences are going to be, what the interpretive objectives are, what the educational objectives are, and all of those kinds of things. And we have the resource and the material and the knowledge, and these people that would be coming in would be the people who have that expertise to really align it to align it into a process and a flow that would allow us to implement it within our museum.
Thank you, Ms. Redcorn. Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
I just had a couple of comments. thoughts, and then I'll turn it back over to Ms. Redcorn. I think she answered the, there was a fundraising question, Ms. Redcorn, just prior to you getting on, posed by Congressman Keene. And I just wanted to reiterate what Chief had said also, along with what Ms. Redcorn has stated this morning. The writer, David Grand, has agreed to assist with a capital campaign by opening the doors to donors and patrons throughout the world who have expressed a sincere interest in contributing to our historical and cultural heritage. So, in traveling throughout the nation, I've been to Chicago, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., St. Louis, right here in our own backyard, Gilcrease. And they have so many articles that belong to us. It was very interesting and nice to see, but they're a long ways from home. So that was the expression that I heard from Chief, was that this is the opportunity for us to be able to bring some of those articles home. And, so that, you know, that takes care of the fundraising part of it, I think. And I'm going to turn this back over to Ms. Redcorn, and I apologize for interrupting.
Oh, no problem. I think that, you know, it's obviously a very humbling and honoring and a very humbling thing to kind of undertake something like this, but nobody takes these things alone. What we do is we have committees that specialize in different areas of our programming for this. So it's not really coming out from one person's idea, but it's looking towards crafting a vision and educational objectives that resonate with the broadest amount of people within our community. And I think that, so in doing that, you know, creating these, you know, we have our challenges with the pandemic, but people have been working around it and being creative in terms of, you know, what we're doing today with our phone call. And we can do those kinds of things to do that type of information gathering, and also to be hiring the best people in the nation who can help us so that we articulate that vision. I think throughout the, in our procurement process for the architect, one of the things that, you know, we're listening for is somebody who's really going to listen, because you can get a firm that comes in and thinks they know and they think they want to do and they can sort of serve you in a certain way. But what you want is somebody to listen to the direction that we want to go, because like I said, it's charting new territory. It's charting new territory for museum best practices, because it's coming from a specific, distinct location. And it is something that was said in the statement that, you know, Chief Lookout and John Joseph Matthews, they really did have that foresight and vision to create a central repository to protect our cultural heritage, the items of our cultural heritage. And so we have that incredibly important duty and role to do. And today, when we assess these things and we look to the future and look to it, I mean, the whole thing and the whole process is looking towards that future. And one of the things in working in museum projects, and, you know, I think a lot of indigenous groups, educational organizations and museums and that sort of thing, that are really thinking through these issues and wanting to do them right and wanting to do them in a way that resonates with the people, really look to those core values and cultural concepts that are specific to who we are as a people. And then we build from there. And that's the way to get those threads to our ancestral knowledge to come through. They're here, or we wouldn't have our launch in June so powerful the way that it is. And I think that we draw upon those strengths and understand and begin to define what those are, so that they can be integrated and implemented into the kinds of processes that we do at the museum. And one of the things I definitely want to mention is that this isn't new. You know, everybody does something. They've had incredible directors through time at the museum, and each took their own direction and looking at that. And I think the things that they did and hearing from them and myself, you know, visiting my dad, and he used to spend a lot of time at the museum, is that it's a community space. It was a community space where people could come in, and I'm sure you all have your own experiences. And just on the side, you know, to come in and to be able to talk and visit and hear about local news, and then maybe be able to sit down and work on something and talk to people and exchange and you know, those kinds of things, because that's what gives life and meaning to the cultural productions that we have. And I think that, you know, there's always a balance between preservation of our cultural heritage in terms of the material and the art, the material base, the art, and also preservation concerns with access. And so these are the kinds of things that we're going to be balancing. Of course, we want to have a state-of-the-art collection storage space that meets national standards for humidity, lighting, and security systems and all of those things. But in with that, we also want to have a thoughtful plan to how our community members, how outside scholars, how artists who are interested in looking at our collection are able to access those and to use those to inspire them to do the things that they may be doing today for their families or for a museum or whatever their interest may be. And so in looking at all of those things and all of those pieces, we have, you know, we talked about the strategic plan and speaking to Chief Standing Bear, is to produce that document, those documents, that storyline, and it will change and it'll adapt over time until we have something that, you know, we're all, that hopefully that we all can be proud of to move forward and really to inspire those donors to get funding for this museum through private funds and through the NEH and looking at maybe corporate sponsorships and those types of things. So I think in that, you know, in terms of the timing, I know it is a very challenging time for everyone in terms of the COVID-19 and all of that. And I think that, you know, it's not something that's escaping us. Every day we're all experiencing that. And so, you know, it's the consideration, you know, that we have in terms of that. You know, I was visiting with somebody about this and the American Alliance of Museums right now and the IMLS, the Institute for Museum and Library Services, and the NEA are all right now campaigning on Capitol Hill to ensure that funds remain for those artists, for the arts and for the culture, because the properties that they have for healing communities, for bringing people together, and also to provide services that really can be helpful to people. And so, yes, it is a trying time, and yes, you know, but these are the things that also help us to keep ourselves together and to keep us strong in our endeavors. And I think that I guess if you have any questions, I'm here.
Thank you, Mrs. Miller. I guess we can open up to questions. Does anybody on the committee have a question for Mrs. Miller?
Chair Maker, it's Jody. I just wanted to comment too on the fundraising that I believe it was like in 2019. We had a donation from a family. I think it was Lydia Wyckoff of $50,000 that they donated to the foundation, and it was actually seed money to help with the fundraising for the expansion of the tribal museum. So I do like that the Osage Nation Foundation is working with the museum to help fundraise as well. That is definitely part of the foundation's mission statement, is to focus on our culture and community and particularly the artists. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Thank you, Congresswoman Rebar. Anybody else have a question for Ms. Miller? Congressman Bickhorst, did you have anything you wanted to say at this point? Back to the legislation, maybe. If we're pleased with Mrs. Miller's presentation, it was a great presentation, Mrs. Miller. We're very fortunate to have someone like you with all your experience and knowledge. I learned a lot today just hearing you in the last 15 minutes. So thank you very much for your input today.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just looking for input from the rest of the Congress.
Chair, this is Congresswoman Stabler.
Yeah, go ahead, Congresswoman Stabler.
I don't have a question. I certainly appreciated the presentation. I think it's something for that all of us have at some point in our lives have been a part of and committed to, and so I'm excited to hear that we have a plan moving forward and support this legislation. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Congresswoman Stabler. Any other comments, questions while we have Mrs. Miller here with us? And we still have to go back to the legislation. I don't think we finished with that yet. But so I know Mrs. Miller is probably very busy. It sounds like she has a lot going. I guess if there's no other questions for you, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay. Mr. Chair, I don't think I'm the one that makes the motion to move it. Is it? Or can I?
Well, I think, I don't know if we were through with, were you through with your presentation for that legislation, 2016?
If there's no, yes, if there's no questions.
Well, then we do entertain any kind of movement on that. We know how urgent and needed it is, and I think we're going to be, in the future, we're going to have even more money to go into this project. And so it can be a very big, beautiful project. I know myself, I've been to a lot of different museums around the country, Indian Native American museums, and they're all beautiful. Now, we love our old building. It was the first one, but I think if you go to some of the other tribal nations and look at their museums, you're going to see that we need a lot of expansion for ours.
Yeah.
Chair, this is the clerk.
You go ahead, clerk.
I just wanted to let Congressman Big Horse know that because he's not in the position of the chair, that it is absolutely in order for him to make a motion if he so chooses.
Great. It's great news.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Congressman Big Horse?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'd like to make a motion to move 20-63 onto the House floor with a due pass recommendation from this committee.
Second.
We have
and that's a motion.
Yeah, did I hear a second on that motion?
Yes, sir.
Congressman Keene has seconded that motion. Any more discussion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Assistant Chief Red Corn. May I make a statement?
Yes, go ahead, Assistant Chief.
Before I go any further, I would ask the clerk, is it appropriate to make amendments to the bill at this point?
The motion to report would need to be withdrawn before you could make amendments.
Okay. Well, we fully support this bill. This is a technical amendment. I've been in communication with the treasurer over the last 30 minutes. What we have a suggestion to do is to change the source of the money from the general fund to the property income account, which is an account set up in Osage law.
Well, thank you, Assistant Chief, and I think we'll have to withdraw that movement and go back to discussion and then where amendments can be made, and maybe we can adjust that particular item. The movement from one fund to the other. I think someone on the committee here can make that motion to amend.
Yeah, Matt, I withdraw my motion.
And my apologies, Congressman Big Horse. I should have stood up earlier, but I was just wrapping up the conversation and just we just got it clear on exactly where the money should come from. So,
well, that's Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we need to know that before we can move on. Okay.
Okay.
Contain a motion.
I make a motion to recess for 5 minutes.
Second.
Okay, we're in recess for 5 minutes.
Okay, Mr. Gill? Is Mr. Gill around?
Yes, sir, I'm here. What piece of legislation are we on?
General.